Stanzas is what we're going to be talking about. We want to first look at worldly standards. Standards that the world mainly lives by. If you notice something about worldly standards, it's always changing. Think about the standards that we live by today, and then also think about the standards that the world had 20, 30, 40, maybe even 50 years ago. The things that we see that are very common to us today, people did not do. We're going to look at that. We're also going to look at our own personal standards, our morals in life, and where we get those standards and applying them to our lives. And last thing we're going to look at is God's standards, biblical standards. We're going to start with worldly standards. They said it's okay. These are some of my favorites in the world. They said it's okay, so it's gotta be good, right? It'll work. In Galatians chapter 1, verse number 6, I'm going to read through verse 9, says, I marvel that ye are so soon removed from him that called you into the grace of Christ and to another gospel, which is not another, but there be some that trouble you and would pervert the gospel of Christ. But though we or another or an angel from heaven preach any other gospel unto you than that which ye have preached unto you, let him be accursed. As we've said before, so now I say again, that if any man preach any other gospel unto you than what ye have received, let him be accursed. The gospel that it's talking about here is the same gospel that was preached throughout the New Testament. It was Christ's death, burial, and resurrection. And obtaining that salvation that Christ gave us, there's a lot of different denominations out there that do change that. You know, you study in the scripture and you see pretty well straightforward what we need to do to obtain eternal salvation in home and heaven with our Heavenly Father. There are over 41,000 different denominations in the United States alone. How many truths are there? You know, those two numbers are very far apart. Something to consider. It's not against the law. Galatians chapter 5, verse number 16, going to read through verse 21, it says, Then I say then, walk in the Spirit, and ye shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. For the lust lusteth against, for the flesh lusteth against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh. And those are contrary one to the other, so that ye cannot do the things that ye would. But if ye be led of the Spirit, ye are not under the law. Now the works of the flesh are manifest, which are these: adultery, fornication, uncleanliness, lasciviousness, idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, variance, mutilation, wrath, strife, seditions, heresies, envying, murders, drunkenness, reveling, and such the like. Of the which I tell you before, as I have told you in times past, that they which do such things shall not inherit the kingdom of God. Look at that list and tell me something. How many of those things are illegal to do in the United States? I see one. Maybe two. I'm not a very good student of the law, but I believe it says murder in there somewhere, and you can't commit that one. But all the others, you can commit those here in the United States, and you don't go to jail. They are perfectly okay to do. That they which do such things shall not inherit the kingdom of God. Eternal damnation is your home if you make that your standards. Acts chapter 5, verse number 29 says, Then Peter and the other apostles answered and said, We ought to obey God rather than men. Others are doing it. 1 Samuel chapter 8, verse number 6 through 7. But the things displeased Samuel when they said, Give us a king to judge us. And Samuel prayed to the Lord. And I'll back up for a second. The children of Israel wanted a king. All the nations around them had a king. And they wanted one as well. And they went to Samuel and said, We want a king. We think this will be good. We want a king. And he goes on in the later verses to tell them everything that tells God they want a king. God tells Samuel, you know, they're not going against you, they're going against me. Give them what they want. You can read throughout the Old Testament and find out how well the king thing worked out for them. Now, I don't know if the judges would have done any better of a job, but I know the king thing didn't work out. They had a few that were good, and they had some that were really bad. Verse number 19, going to 20, says, "Nevertheless, the people refused to obey the voice of Samuel, and they said, 'Nay, but we will have a king over us. Take that also, that we also may be like the nations, and that our king may judge us and go out before us and fight our battles.'" Solely on, they wanted, because everybody else has one. Everybody else has a king. Why don't we have a king too? Samuel even tried to change their mind. How often do we get stuck in our ways? I know I'm kind of like that. I kind of like my ruts. I'll be real honest. My ruts are comfortable. You know, others are doing it. Yeah, that's, you know, okay. You know, whenever I was in the military, the one thing you did not want to do is you did not want to go down first thing in the morning to PT formation and have on a different uniform than anybody else. I mean, that was bad. I mean, it was, you know, whenever the weather started to change, our uniform changed with it. We started wearing sweats instead of shorts, started wearing long sleeve shirts instead of short sleeve shirts. Then it got really cold and we put on different shorts or different pants and a jacket or something. But the thing was, whenever the temperature was changing in the morning, you know, you didn't know until last minute what the uniform would be, but whenever it did change, you needed to be in the right uniform. You needed to go along with what everybody else was doing. It was a good thing to do as others are doing. But as Christians, as we look at what others are doing, where are the others getting their standards? You know, just because I stand up here and I tell you all this, don't take it for me. Search it out for yourselves. I mean, I'm human. I do make mistakes, and usually a lot of them. So further study this lesson whenever you get home. In Matthew chapter 27, verses number 24 through 26, says, "When Pilate saw that he could prevail nothing, but that rather a tumult was made, he took water and washed his hands before the multitude, saying, 'I am innocent of the blood of this just person. See ye to it.'" Pilate couldn't find anything wrong with Christ whenever he was judging him. This man hasn't done anything wrong. But instead of standing up for him, he went along with the crowd. I mean, he's a politician. I mean, what do you expect of him? I mean, out of our politicians today, I do not expect any of them to go against what the multitude is saying. You're making political suicide if you do that thing, you know. "Then answered all the people and said, 'His blood be on us and on our children.' Then released he Barabbas unto them. And when he had scourged Jesus, he delivered him to be crucified." Everyone else was for it. Why not go along with it? You know, one of my favorite Westerns, one of the lines in it is, I think Wyatt Earp has somebody there, and he goes, you know, if I'm going to hell, you're going with me. Think about that with your standards of living and your religious life. Are you going along with it because you were raised that way? Are you going along with it because your neighbor is doing it? What are your standards for being here? I want. Acts chapter 8 and verse number 18. "And then Simon saw that through laying on of the apostles' hands, the Holy Ghost was given, and he offered them money, saying, 'Give me also this power, that on whomsoever I lay hands, he may receive the Holy Ghost. But Peter said unto him, thy money perish with thee, because thou hast thought that the gift of God may be purchased with money. Thou hast neither part nor lot in this matter, for thy heart is not right in the sight of God. Repent, therefore, of this thy wickedness, and pray God, if perhaps the thought of thine heart may be forgiven thee. For I perceive that thou art in the gall of bitterness, and in the bond of iniquity. Then answered Simon and said, pray ye to the Lord for me, that none of these things which ye have spoken come upon me. Simon wanted the same ability that the apostles had. Now, what we are not told about was his intentions with those gifts, if he was given them. But we do read that he's in the gall of bitterness, which tells me that he had bad ideas that what he was going to use for those gifts if he received them. You know, what we want isn't always what we need. It's a little bit more of a lengthy reading. If you have a Bible and like to follow along with me, we're going to go to 2 Kings chapter 5, verse number 1 through 15. And I'm going to keep it kind of short, so I'm not going to read all of it. But there's a story about Naaman. He was the captain of the host of the king of Syria. He was a great man with his master and honorable. But he was a leper too. Verse number 2, and the Syrians had gone out by companies and had brought away a captive out of the land of Israel, a little maid. And she waited on Naaman's wife. And she said unto her mistress, would God my Lord were with the prophet that is in Samaria, for he would recover him of his leprosy. And one went in and told his Lord, saying, thus and thus saith the maid that is of the land of Israel. And the king of Syria said, Go, and I will send a letter unto the king of Israel. And he departed and took with him 10 talents of silver and 6,000 pieces of gold and 10 changes of raiment, and brought the letter to the king of Israel, saying, now when this letter is come unto thee, behold, I have therewith sent Naaman, my servant, to thee. Naaman found out that he could be cleansed of his leprosy. As you go on to read, and you can continue doing so, in verse number 15, in there in verse 10, he went to Elijah. And Elijah sent a messenger unto him, saying, go and wash in the Jordan 7 times, and thy flesh shall come again to thee, and thou shalt be clean. But Naaman was wroth, and went away, and said, behold, I thought he will surely come out to me, and stand, and call on the name of the Lord, his God, and strike his hand over the place, and recover the leper. Naaman thought that there was going to be some miraculous thing, some laying on of hands to cleanse him of his leprosy. A lot of times what we think is right isn't always right. That's why we have the Word of God. So we can go back and we can check to see if we are right. And to make changes where we need to make changes. You know, Naaman thought that, you know, surely this isn't what he wants me to do. I mean, we have rivers in Syria that are a lot cleaner than this one is. I mean, this, you know, we're talking about cleansing our bodies here and getting rid of this leprosy. Surely there's something better. A lot of times we tend to overthink stuff a little bit and to make the truth, the simple standard, a lot harder than what it really is. What about good intentions? I know a lot of people that have good intentions. Samuel chapter 6, verse 6 through 7. And when they came to Nachon's threshing floor, Uzzah put forth his hand to the ark of God and took hold of it, for the oxen shook it. And the anger of the Lord was kindled against Uzzah, and God smote him there for his error. And there he died by the ark of God. That right there is good intentions. Have a little bit of time on your hands. Do a little bit of Google research and try to figure out how heavy that ark was. From what I figured out, it weighed about 2,000 pounds. Now, if something that weighs 2,000 pounds is sliding off of a cart, you want to get out of its way because it's going to crush you. Okay? Uzzah was brave enough to stand there and put his hands up against the ark to keep it from falling off the cart. Now, I'm almost certain that God was already a little upset because they were moving it on a cart. That was their first mistake. But nobody was supposed to touch the ark. I mean, nobody ever even saw the ark except for once a year. And here they are moving it with oxen on a cart, and he touches it. And he died. I know a lot of people that have good intentions and aren't near as noble as keeping the Ark of the Covenant from coming off of a cart, and they think it's okay. Biblical standards. Matthew chapter 7, verse number 24 and 25 says, "Therefore, whosoever heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them, I will liken unto him a wise man, which built his house upon a rock. And the rains descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew, and beat upon the house, and it fell not, for it was founded upon a rock." The foundations that you have in your life, no matter whether you got them from other people or from our government or from the Bible, think on those standards that you have in your life. Are they like shifting sand? Are they like the world's views that are always changing? Or will those standards stay the same? 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse number 16 and 17 says, "All scripture is given by the inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works." We have the Bible to perfect ourselves, to give us the standards that we need in life. We don't have to assume that they're correct. We don't have to take anybody's word for it. We can read it and understand it and know what the standards are. Good luck with that one. Hebrews chapter 13, verse number 8, Jesus Christ the same yesterday and today and forever. Malachi 3 and 6, "For I am the Lord, I change not, therefore thy sons of Jacob are not consumed." Jesus Christ doesn't change. Our Heavenly Father does not change. They're the ones that give us the standards that we need to live by. It does not change. Looking at some of the standards that I have in my life, a lot of them were given to me by my parents. We live by some standards that our government makes for us. Some of them are good, some of them are not so good. They're not the best standards in the world, but it's what we got. Each of you have a Bible in front of you. Those are God's standards, and that is the way that we should live our lives.